You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So we're in a discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to the extent to which a woman's testimony is believed if she says that her husband died. So the classic Mishnah, the beginning of the 15th chapter of Yevamot, which really sets the tone for the whole of the last two chapters of Yevamot, which will all be to do with issues of testimony and the reliability of testimony. So we're going to spend two chapters looking at issues of testimony. A classic example, so a woman and husband goes overseas, and she comes back and she says, my husband is dead. And of course, the Beit Din has to decide, can she marry? Are they going to let her marry? And Beit Shammai essentially are place full trust in the testimony of the woman, in contrast with Beit Hillel, and they persuade Beit Hillel to come along and agree with them. So that's essentially the structure of the first two Mishnayot. Beit Shammai trust the woman. The halacha, Beit Hillel don't really, and the halacha normally goes according to Beit Hillel, but Beit Hillel are persuaded to come on board. However, Beit Hillel has not given up. Let's jump into the third Mishnah, and we'll see that Beit Hillel are still fighting. Beit Shammai omrim tina seviti tol ketubah. Beit Shammai says she marries, and she takes her ketubah. Well, that's kind of obvious. If her husband's dead, the ketubah belongs to her. And this is a significant sum of money. So for Beit Shammai, who trust the testimony of the woman, to say that her husband is dead, is natural to say, Tina Seviti tol ketubah. She marries, she takes her ketubah. She's a free woman. She can marry, she can take her money. And now, remember, Beit Hillel did not trust this woman's testimony. So now Beit Hillel are going to object. Beit Hillel omrim, tina seve lo titol ketubah. Beit Hillel says, look, she can get married, but she doesn't get the money. She doesn't get her ketubah. Beit Shammai are going to object. Remember, in the structure of this is the second time we've had this type of argument. In last time round, they had an argument. They use rational reasoning, and Beit Shammai managed to get Beit Hillel to agree with them. So let's now see what happens. Second time round. Amru lahem Beit Shammai, hitartem et ha'erva ha'chamura ve'lo tatiru et ha'mamon ha'kal. Beit Shammai said, you've actually given a heter, you permitted a really serious issue about forbidden relationships. You permitted this woman to remarry. So why shouldn't you permit money, which is of light consequence? I've translated here as less consequence, but literally it's light consequence, because any mistake you make with money, you can always correct by giving back the money. But a mistake you make with forbidden relationships, you can't correct. You know, you could have mamzer. So it's a whole different order of issue. So Beit Shammai put this to Beit Hillel. You've permitted the forbidden relationship. Why don't you permit the money? Amru lahem Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel said back, Matzin she'ein ha'achim nichnasin l'nachala al piha. Beit Hillel say, look, we have a separate halacha in terms of the laws of inheritance, and brothers may not receive their inheritance. That means essentially children. The children of the dead father don't receive their inheritance on the sole testimony of the mother. Remember, we're talking here about the sole testimony of the mother. There are no other witnesses, there's no evidence. So Beit Hillel say, look, you know, for monetary matters, we don't go according to the sole testimony of the mother. Amru lahem Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai respond. And this is really it's a rhetorical comment here. Don't we learn this from the scroll of her ketubah? Because shehu kotevla, because on the scroll of the ketubah, it it writes to her, if you get married to somebody else, you will take what is written for you. By the way, I don't think this is written on our, I don't recognize this language from our ketubas today, but clearly in the time of the Mishnah, it was there. I.e., if the husband is dead, the wife gets the money. Chazru Beit Hillel, Lahorot, Ketivrei Beit Shammai. And Beit Hillel changed their minds and they taught like Beit Shammai. So we can still go according to Beit Hillel, as we normally do, but Beit Hillel have changed their opinion and they go like Beit Shammai and they trust the woman. And for that matter, and they trust her and they give her economic freedom. I mean, this is a really important principle. And then going on the question of, well, who is really a reliable witness? The Mishnah then starts to discuss other kinds of female witnesses. In general, by the way, this is something painful. We find it's very odd today, but in general, a woman's testimony is not admissible in a Jewish court, but in certain circumstances, it is. But the Mishnah is going to go on to say, Hakol ne'emanim lahayida, all are believed to testify for her. So in other words, the rabbis are incredibly careful about not creating agunot, not creating women who are chained. So they will allow perhaps one witness rather than two witnesses to testify that a husband is dead. It doesn't have to be the wife, right? It could be somebody else. And the Mishnah is actually going to say, look, anybody can testify that a husband has died. Chutz, there are five exceptions. Five people who famously don't get on with the wife. And really interesting that the Mishnah already 2,000 years ago is reeling off a list of people who are known not to get on with the wife, even in those times. Who are these? And because of this difficult relationship, they're just not trusted. They're just not trusted to give evidence about a husband's marriage in case these women want to trick the wife into essentially abrogate, into terminating the marriage. Everyone is believed to testify except for Chamutza, her mother-in-law. Uvat Chamuta, the daughter of her mother-in-law, that is effectively her husband's sister. We might call that a sister-in-law in today's language. It's her husband's sister. Vitzarata, that's her other wife, her rival wife. Ve'ivimta, or Vivimta, that's her sister-in-law, that is to say her brother's wife. That's the other sister-in-law. These all might not get on with her. Uvat Bala, and the husband's daughter. This must be a husband's daughter from another marriage. These are not trusted to testify about her. And by the way, the Mishnah knows that these women are trusted to testify about a get. To bring a get. And if you don't mind my jumping around a little bit, I just want to bring you a little Mishnah from Gittin, which is on the source sheet. Gittin, chapter 2, Mishnah 7. Af hanashim she'einan ne'emna, not lomar meit bala, even the women who are not trusted to say her husband died, so they're not trusted for evidence. Ne'emna, not lahavia gita, they are trusted to bring the get. So they are trusted to be messengers to bring the get. And then we have exactly the same list. The mother-in-law, the brother's sister, the mother-in-law, the husband's sister, the rival wife, the sister-in-law, the daughter of the husband. And the Mishnah there in Gittin says, Ma ben get lemita, what's the difference between the get and the death? And the Mishnah answers, Shaktav mochiach, a get is a written document. Bringing a written document is quite different. You don't have to be a reliable witness to bring a written document because the writing of the document proves it. All you have to do is bring the object. And bringing the object is quite different from giving evidence. And in fact, the Mishnah there in Gittin rules a woman can bring her own get as long as she testifies that in my presence it was signed and in my presence it was delivered. So the writing proves it. And maybe this, by the way, is the connection with the dispute between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about the Ketubah. Remember, Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, look, we know the woman can take her money because it says so in the Ketubah. The writing proves it. But anyway, our Mishnah is referring to this Mishnah in Gittin. So let's go back now to our Mishnah. All are believed to testify her for her, except for these five women who are known to dislike her. Ma bein get lemita. What is a different? Why is a get different from death? Ela shaktav mukhiyah. The written document provides the proof. So we have, if you like, a mental link to the last Mishnah. And that's all, by the way, this Mishnah is going to say about Gittin. It assumes you know that Mishnah. And then we're going to get back to the whole question of witnesses. And remember, when the woman witnesses, she's a sole witness. We've only got one witness. And there's a question, well, you know, how does a testimony of one witness stack up against two? So the Mishnah continues, Ed Omer Meit Veni Seit. So one witness said, he's dead. She marries. Uva Achea Ve'amar Lo Meit. And another says, he's not dead. Hare Zo Lo Teitse. She need not go out. And Mishnah here means she need not go out of her second marriage, i.e. she remains second married. The first witness, effectively, the first witness has the strength, the caffeination, the full fatness of a pair of witnesses. We trust one witness in matters of the death of the husband, and we trust him as much as two witnesses. One person's testimony is a full strength testimony in this matter. So you can't, and we know, by the way, if you have full strength testimony, it can't be overturned by a single witness. You need two witnesses to overturn testimony. So one witness just rocking up and disagreeing has no impact. She doesn't go out. But let's keep going. Ed Omer Meit, Ushnaim Omrim Lo Meit. But if one witness says he's dead, and two witnesses say he's not dead, now we've got two witnesses. So we've disproved the first pair, if you like. Afal Pishen Sage Tate say, even if she has married again, she has to go out. This is really quite a tragic consequence for the woman concerned. We've seen this before in chapter 10. Getting married to two men is just economically disastrous for the woman concerned. Shnaim omri mate, ve'ed omer lo mate, afal pi shelo niseit tinase. If two witnesses said he's dead, and one witness said he's not dead, afal pi shelo niseit tinase. Even if she had not married, she may do so. In other words, one rogue witness, one opposing witness does not stand, is not sufficient to overturn the evidence of two kosher witnesses who've testified that the husband is dead, just as much, by the way, as one witness is not sufficient to overturn even the evidence of the woman herself that her husband has died. We believe the Bet Din believes the testimony of the woman. And in this case, Beit Hillel, even though they disagreed, they came round to following Beit Shammai, who supported the reliability of a woman's testimony.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.